I want to start this morning with just asking you to imagine that you're going to die soon. Imagine that within days, weeks at the most, you're going to pass away. What would you want to share with those you're close to? For example, if you're going to pass away, what would you want to share with your children? Maybe we'd want to tell them we'd love them and we're going to miss them. Maybe we would have some additional things to apologize to them for. Maybe we would want to share words of encouragement with them to try to spur them on the rest of their lives. Well, as we've gone through this letter of 2 Timothy, it's clear in this letter that Paul believes he is going to die. And this aligns with tradition. There's no other known writings of Paul beyond this letter. He also believes that Timothy is his son in the faith. And what we're going to be looking at this morning are Paul's final words of encouragement to Timothy. And these words of encouragement are going to come in a very strong charge that Paul is going to issue to Timothy. He's going to tell him to preach the word. And that's the message that the Lord has for us this morning. We're going to be encouraged as well to preach the word. In addition to this charge, Paul's going to add to it four things that should mark or characterize Timothy's teaching and preaching as well as ours. So again, this is God's word for us this morning. Let's ask him one more time to bless this portion of our worship service. Father, again, we thank you, we praise you. You are so good to us, Lord. Your word is truly a priceless gift to us, a gift that brings life and leads us into works that you created us to do, that we would be thoroughly equipped for those. Lord, as we come now and as we are encouraged with your word, help us, Lord, to see the application you have for each one of us here this morning, that we would simply be faithful in allowing you to truly be Lord Jesus of our life. And we would be responsive for each one of us in the work that you've called us to do, to bring you glory and honor, to advance your kingdom. And we pray these things in your name, Jesus. Amen. In the first chapter of 2 Timothy, we saw that Paul had encouraged Timothy to fan in the flame the gift of God. He was encouraging Timothy to take forth the gift of his ability to share the word of God. We also then saw last week, in verses 3, 14 through 17, that we're to continue in what we have learned and have firmly believed. We were reminded and taught that all Scripture is God-breathed, that this is the very Word of God. And we saw last week there's two overarching purposes for the Word. One was that it's through the Word that we're saved. It's through understanding that Jesus died on the cross and having faith in him that leads us into a personal relationship where we can truly know God. The second thing that we saw last week was that Scripture equips us. It trains us to do everything that God would have us to do as godly men and women. Again, this word is a priceless gift from God that has so much value and blessing for us who follow that word. That's what we saw last week, and now this week's message is going to lead right into that. And it begins in verse 4:1. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is the judge, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom. What Paul's doing here is he's building up to this charge he's about to give Timothy. He's setting this up. He's bringing weight to it. And he's doing it by reminding Timothy that in this presence, as he's about to make this charge, it's as if God the Father and Son were right there as witnesses to this charge. And also keep in mind that Paul tried to do everything just the way God wanted him to do it. The things he did, what he spoke, he believed God would have him to speak. So in a sense, what he's about to charge Timothy with is coming from the Lord himself. And then thirdly, he's reminding Timothy here that Timothy, one day there's going to be a judgment take place and you're going to stand before God. And we see this in Scripture. We see this in Romans 4:12 says, each of us will give an account of himself to God. And specifically in Hebrews 13:17, it says leaders will have to give an account. This isn't an account to determine whether we're saved or not. This is an accounting of the faithfulness of our life or not. I don't remember Mom playing the dad card often in our home. But when she did, it carried a lot of weight. Because Dad could be very forceful in the discipline that he inflicted on our behinds. So, when Mom warned us that if our behavior wasn't in line with what it should be, if it got too far out of line, she was going to let Dad know. And we would have to experience the frightful consequences of that. That's a little bit of what Paul's doing here. He's saying, Timothy, you're going to one day stand before Almighty God and give an account for your faithfulness. What Paul's doing here, he's bringing the heaviest weight he can possibly bring, the heaviest weight he knows how to bring to what he's about to share with Timothy. And what he is about to share is to preach the word. So he lines all of this up, and then he gives these words, this command, preach the word. And before we go on and we talk more about this, I want to just pause a moment and think and ask us to reflect on what could have Paul said here. He's dying. Timothy's like a son in the faith. Think of biblical things that Paul could have said here. He could have said, Timothy, you need to stay connected with Christ. You need to be in prayer. You need to be studying the Word of God. He could have said to Timothy, be faithful. Just do what you know God wants you to do. He could have said to him, keep loving others, Timothy. You need to love others. Love God, love others. He could have said, let the power of the Holy Spirit come through in your life, Timothy. All of those are good biblical things. But what he said to Timothy were these three little words, preach the word. Preach the word, this God-breathed word, this word that brings life to spiritually dead people, this word that equips people to live life the way God wants them to live it. Preach the word. He's telling Timothy, make this the main thing. Keep this the main thing. And why shouldn't he? Why shouldn't he? It makes complete sense because the church is built upon the foundation of the Word of God. You guys might be getting tired of this verse if we get to it. There we go. Ephesians 2:19 and 20. And I've shared this a number of times in recent months. It seems to go so well with what we've been learning in 1 and 2 Timothy. Ephesians 2:19 and 20. You, meaning all believers, our fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. What's the most important piece of a building? It's the cornerstone. And who is the cornerstone? It's Jesus. And what is Jesus referred to in John 1:1? The Word. The Word. Remember it says in John 1, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the Old Testament, we see that often God spoke to his people through prophets. He called men to himself. He gave them words to share with his people, sometimes verbally, sometimes in written form. And some of those words were, I'm going to send to you a Messiah who's going to save you. And then Jesus comes. And he is the Word. And he shares the Word of God. And not only that, he exemplifies it in his life. We can hear Jesus. We can see his life. He's the Word of God. So the church is built upon Jesus. And then what did Jesus do? He called apostles to himself. An apostle is a messenger, a spokesman of the Word of God. And they took forth the Word. So the church was built upon and built up through the Word of God. That's what we see in Scripture. So again, it makes sense that Timothy is hearing this command from Paul, preach the word. Just to reinforce this thinking, here's the pattern that we see in Scripture. Jesus is the word. He came to share the word. And in John 17:8, as he's praying to his Father, he says, "For I've given them the words that you gave me, and they have received them and have come to know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me." Jesus came to bring the word. And he brought it to, again, his apostles. Those were next. And what did the apostles do? Acts 5:42, "And every day in the temple, from house to house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ." And knowing the apostles' life were limited, what did they do? Well, they told others, like Timothy, preach the word. And not only that, but they told Timothy and others, get other people ready to preach the word. 2 Timothy 2:2, "And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others as well." So what application is there for us in this? We have now been passed on the baton of God's word, haven't we? We are to take forth now and share the word and equip others to share the word. It needs to be the main thing. But sometimes churches can be tempted to make something else the main thing. Sometimes churches can think, if we just have more programs, then we're going to be a great church. It's about having programs. Other churches, it's about the music. If we can just have a vibrant, maybe loud, maybe lights, man, that's really going to draw people, and that's going to make us a better church. Still, others think that sometimes it's about special events. I know of churches who hold raffles and entertainment just to try to draw people in. Sometimes it's about the building that a church occupies. That becomes the main thing. Those things are all good things, but if they're the main thing, then that church has drifted from what God's word calls us to keep the main thing, his word. Again, sometimes man just tries to outthink God, thinking that we can come up with schemes and plans that are really going to make this church better, when God's word is very clear. Keep my word the main thing. That's what we see here. So that's what we need to do here. We need to make sure we're keeping the word of God the main thing. We need to do that when we come together on Sunday mornings and worship. We need to do that as we gather in our small groups, as our youth and children's ministry takes place, and even with every one of our other ministries. The word of God needs to be the main thing. That needs to continue to be the focus. And it's not just our ministries here, is it? It's also in our individual lives and in our families. The word of God needs to be the main thing. The thing that we most focus on, the thing we most depend on. Again, the weight of this charge that is being carried over to Timothy applies to all of us. Certainly applies to those who are pastors and elders. There's strong application here this morning for us, but there's application for every one of us in this room this morning, because all of us are teachers. Almost all of us are to be sharing the word of God. Sometimes it might be leading a small group. Sometimes it might be teaching a children's class. Or parents. Certainly as parents, we are to share the word of God. There's so many different applications for it, so we have to be faithful. So after giving this charge to Timothy to preach the word, we're now going to look at four things that should mark or characterize this preaching of God's word. And we see the first one as verse 2 carries on. Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. And this is getting at the question, when should the word of God be preached? And this is essentially saying, be ready to share it all the time. We have different seasons in life, don't we? A lot of different kinds of seasons. One of them is the seasons of the year. So as spring comes along, we expect certain things, don't we? We kind of expect it to rain, things to green up, flowers to grow. When summer comes, we expect that it's going to get hot, and hopefully the tomatoes ripen in the garden. In the fall, we expect the leaves to fall and the weather to turn a little cooler and the farmers to harvest crops. In the winters, we expect the weather to get snowy and cold and birds to fly south. We have expectations for what's going to happen in certain seasons. And here, in a similar way, people expect God's word to be shared in certain situations. So when you come to church, you kind of expect that God's word is going to be shared, right? Or when you go to a wedding or a funeral, you expect the word of God to be shared. Do you expect the word of God to be shared maybe in the grocery store? Or maybe when you're at a family gathering and you're sharing with a family member and there's opportunity to share the word of God? Or parents, when you're on vacation and that teaching moment comes up and you have a perfect opportunity to insert the word of God. This week, I got to share the word of God with somebody on a picnic table. It's just saying here, be ready. Always be ready. In season, when people expect it to come, but be ready as well when they aren't expecting it. And they may not even want it. Be ready to share it when we're supposed to share it. We're to be ready to share God's word 24/7. That's what it's saying here. We're to be ready to share it because it is the word of God. It is this word that brings life. So we're really, all of the time we're dealing with spiritual life and death situations, aren't we? If a person's saved or not saved, it's a spiritual life and death situation. And it's the word of God that can bring life to them. And it's not just in those situations. And it can be many other situations. We're to be ready to share this word of God when it's convenient and when it's not convenient, when it's welcomed and when it may not be welcomed. We're to be faithful. I shared before, I was a chaplain at the hospital for 4 years. And I got to go into a lot of rooms. And it wasn't always easy for me to go in because I didn't know what to expect. And it certainly wasn't easy for the people in the room when I came in because I was lugging this big Bible around and they didn't know what to expect. But I came in with a desire to share the love of Christ and His Word. And I've shared before, only in one situation did I leave the room where the people weren't thankful that I came. We're to be faithful in sharing the word of God. Whether they receive it well or don't receive it well, that's not what it's about, is it? It's about us being faithful. When we know we're in a situation and God's word is to be shared, then we're to be faithful to share it. And that might turn out great and awesome, and it might not turn out well at all. We may get rejected. But it's not about the results for us, is it? Our part isn't the results. Our part is to be faithful in sharing the word of God. The results are between God, His Holy Spirit working, and the person who's hearing the word of God. And we can really be tempted sometime to think the results are our responsibility. They're not. Our responsibility is to be faithful in sharing the word of God. And one way that we can do it, and probably the only way we can really do it, aligns with 1 Peter 3:15. But in your heart set apart Christ as Lord. And I want to make sure we understand what this means. In our hearts, right here, we're setting apart Christ as Lord. We're saying in the core of our being, Jesus is Lord of my life. And if we really mean that, then it means we're willing to do whatever He wants us to do. So set apart in your heart, but in your heart, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give the answer to everyone who asked you, to give the reason for the hope that you have. If Christ is set apart in our heart as Lord and we're faithful, we will share the word of God the way he wants us to share it, when he wants us to share it. It's really as simple as that on the one hand, but the challenge for us is keep setting apart Christ as Lord. That's the first mark. The second mark we see as we continue on in verse 2. Preach the word, reprove, rebuke, exhort with complete patience and teaching. And this one's getting at how do we preach the word? So we're going to find ourselves in all kind of different situations. And in some of those situations, a person might need to be encouraged. And so we give them a portion of God's word that builds them up and encourages them. At other times, maybe somebody's in sin and they need to be confronted with the word of God. They need to be refuted or corrected in their life. And so we're to do that. We're to meet people where they're at with God's word faithfully. That's what's being talked about here. And sometimes, you know, it's easy, and sometimes that's very difficult in this from the standpoint of receiving the word. Let me give you some examples. When we share, like Zephaniah 3:17, Lord, your God is with you. He's mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. Is that awesome? Who doesn't want to hear that? Or 1 Peter 1:3-5. Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. If we have faith in Jesus Christ, praise God. That is awesome. Who doesn't want to hear those things? It's about who God is and what he's done for us and what he still wants to do for us. Man, hearing that is like, it should just build us up, encourage us. But other times, the word of God kind of hits us where we're at, and maybe we're not right where we're supposed to be at. In verses like Philippians 2:14, do everything without complaining or arguing. Sometimes we still want to complain and argue, don't we? We live in a fallen world where that's commonplace. And so the word of God hits us and tries to adjust our life. Or Ephesians 4:32, be kind and compassionate to one another. Forgive each other just as Christ God forgave you. Well, that sounds really good until somebody's really done something that has hurt you. And you don't want to forgive them. You'd really rather hurt them. Or Matthew 5:44, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Again, that sounds really good until you're the one being persecuted. Obviously, that is really good, and this is what we should do, but we still at times have a sin nature, and there's still adjustments need to be made in our life. And God's word is working along with his Holy Spirit to help bring these adjustments to us. And sometimes these adjustments are easy, aren't they? We hear the word of God and it's like, no problem. I'll do that. That's no problem. And then we hear the word of God and it's like, oh, that's a little harder for me to adjust to. We have to keep working over and over and over again on it. But God gives us his word and his spirit to help us do that. So the faithful preacher and teacher of God's word will reprove and rebuke and exhort, meeting people where they're at, faithfully sharing the word of God, no matter what it says, that we will be faithful in following the content. And this is one of the reasons why we do expository preaching here at Covenant. Expository preaching is just verse by verse by verse teaching of God's word. One of the reasons we do that is we don't want to skip over those hard passages. As we go through 1 and 2 Timothy, there's some really uplifting and encouraging and easy passages to hear and teach, and there's some that are challenging and difficult. We want to be able to share the word of God faithfully as we're called to. those things that are difficult, those things that are easy. So we're not only to share the Word of God faithfully, the content of it, but we're to do it with complete patience. Anybody in here ever struggle with patience? Seems like all of us do at times, don't we, with certain different things. Patience, we're to be completely patient. That means that we're to be faithful in sharing the Word of God, that we should be passionate sharing the Word of God urgently, but patient in allowing the Word of God to work. In other words, we never want to force or contrive somebody in coming to faith in Jesus. We just share the Word of God. That's our part. Whether they choose to come to faith in Jesus, that's their part. We're to be patient in all of that. We're also to be patient in allowing the Word of God to work in a person's life. Because when we come to faith in Christ, sanctification starts for us, doesn't it? That process of becoming more and more like Jesus. And sometimes there might be people around us where we want that process to move along a little faster. We want them to get their act cleaned up a little faster. Rather than allowing God to work in their life, we are trying to be the Holy Spirit in their life. God's Word is just telling us to be patient. We need to keep loving them and encouraging them and spurring them on, but we have to allow God to work in their life. We can't be the Holy Spirit. We're just the deliverer of God's Word, allowing that to work. So we need to share the content of God's Word faithfully. We need to be completely patient. And then it says, preach the Word of God with teaching. Actually, this would be better translated with careful instruction. It's kind of tied with being patient. Have you ever had an instructor or teacher who kind of almost assumed you knew as much as he or she knew? They kind of expected that? Can we be that way sometimes? Where we've known something for so long and maybe we know it so well, we start making assumptions that other people know it that way as well. For example, we might say to someone, you know, if you just place your faith in Jesus, you will be justified. Isn't that great? What's the problem with saying something like that? How many of us knew what the word justified meant before we came to faith in Christ? It's not part of our normal everyday vocabulary, is it? So people might not know justify means being made right with God, but also people might not know what faith means, biblical faith or belief. Again, how many of us before faith in Christ thought belief was just knowing Jesus existed? Where biblical belief is so much more than that. So we have to, again, preach the Word of God, the content faithfully. We need to do it with patience, and we need to do it with careful instruction. The third thing that should mark the preaching of God's Word, we see in verses 3 and 4. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but have itching ears. They will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. And what this is getting out here is, as preachers and teachers of God's Word, we need to be aware that there will always be some that will reject God's Word. We have to be aware of it. It's very important, and we'll talk about why in a moment. But Paul says, as he's writing this, he says, for the time is coming, and as we see in this letter and throughout Scripture, that time is already here. And it's present today, and it will continue to be present until Jesus comes again. The time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching. People will not accept good, faithful teaching of God's Word. That's what it's saying. They will reject it. They won't put up with it. And for some people, they'll hate it. They don't want anything to do with it. And so what they will do is they will have itching ears, meaning they want their ears to be tickled by a certain kind of teaching. Teaching that they can find as they accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. It's just saying they're going to go out, they're going to maybe listen on the radio, or they're going to look on TV, or they're going to go out and talk to people who will affirm what they want to hear. That's what this is being talked about. And when they find those people, they will justify in their own minds that it's okay and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths, which means false teaching. These are the kinds of people who like the idea of Jesus being Savior of their life, but really aren't interested in Him being Lord. These are the kind of people who at the core of their being, they're still self-centered, and they want their will rather than being Christ-centered and wanting God's will. As I shared last week, when we're self-centered, when it's all about us, then what will follow is our will, and that will align with our beliefs, which align with our own behavior, what we want. And for those who have faith in Jesus Christ, God and His Word are working to change this. He's working to change our thinking and our attitude and our response to different things. But those who may not have faith in Christ, they reject all of that. They don't want nothing to do with that. They want to keep doing what they want to do. So maybe there's somebody out there that's into drinking excessively or taking drugs. They want people in their lives to tell them, it's okay, you can do that. Or maybe it's somebody who wants to abort a child. They want to go and they'll just keep talking to people until they hear that person that tells them, God loves you. It's your body. You can do whatever you want to do. Or maybe it's the person who wants to be sexually active outside of a marriage between a husband and wife. Or a wife who's not willing to submit to her husband. Or a husband who's not willing to love his wife. Sometimes it's people who are religious people, who are following traditions of men that are opposed to the Word of God. And they don't want to hear about that. They don't want to hear the Word. They want to just keep following their own path or that of men. Sometimes it has to do with the core gospel message itself, where they have a different message. You can get to heaven a different way than other than faith in Jesus, or it's faith in Jesus plus something else. The behavior of the follower of Jesus Christ is laid out pretty clearly in Scripture. It tells us how we should respond to different situations. And there's going to be times where we fail, right? Because every one of us still falls short. That's not what this is talking about. This isn't talking about us going out and just kind of blowing it and then going to God and asking for forgiveness. Not at all. This is talking about the person who in the core of their being, it's about them and what they want. And they know what they want is opposed to the Word of God, so they're going out and they're trying to find people who will support their behavior. And when they find that, then they'll justify in their own minds, it's okay not to follow the Word of God. Here, it's just saying, be ready for this to happen. Expect it to happen. From those outside the church, for sure, but also those, some within the church. We have to be ready. Because if we who share the Word of God isn't ready for that, we can be tempted to bend the Word. We can be tempted to bend the Word to what others want to hear because that's easier. That's more comfortable. And so we're just being reminded here, this is a reality. Be ready for it. And when it comes, stand firm on the Word of God. And then finally, our fourth mark that should characterize the preaching of God's Word. We see in verse 5, as for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. As for you, he's talking about Timothy. As for you, Timothy, don't be like those teachers that might want to share what people's tickling ears want to hear. Don't be like that. Always be sober-minded, which just means always be clear in your thinking, thinking that aligns with the Word of God and that follows faithfulness. So Timothy, as well as us, are to be sober-minded, think faithfully according to the word of God. We're to endure suffering. We saw in 2 Timothy 3:12 a couple weeks ago, indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. If we're sharing the word of God, if we're living the way Christ wants us to live, it's going to be different than the world around us, and we're going to be persecuted for it. Do the work of an evangelist. An evangelist is any person who shares the good news of Jesus Christ, the gospel. Do the work of an evangelist. And so in a sense, this is saying, make the core of the main thing the gospel message itself. The main thing of the main thing is the gospel message. And maybe some of you get tired of how often we share that message here, but that's what God's word calls us to do. And then finally, fulfill your ministry. Keep being faithful to the things that God has called you to do until the work is finished or until he calls you home. So this fourth mark is just always push on and being a faithful preacher and teacher of God's word. So just to kind of wrap the last 2 weeks up, a precious gift God has given to us, a gift that has brought us spiritual life, a gift that equips us for doing what God wants us to do, helps us to be godly men and women, husbands, wives, parents, workers, members of society, anything you can think of, God's word equips us for that. This is the gift. May we hold on to it tightly in our lives, remaining firmly faithful to it, seeing this as authority for our life, and may we also hold it out faithfully as God wants us to. May we do that as a church. May we do that individually as well. Father, we thank you and praise you. We thank you, Lord, for so many different gifts you've given to us. We thank you, Lord, also for the gift of your word that helps us to know you and to know your will, helps us to come to life in you and to live life as you would have us to do, to live life rich and full, an abundant life that brings you glory and honor and brings us great blessing and enables us to be blessings to those around us. Lord, may we be faithful in the ways you would have us to be. Each one of us, Lord, all of us have different gifts and talents and different callings. We're not the same at all. Help us just to be faithful into what you have for each of us. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.